The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Hope you guys are doing good today. So I want to jump into this Speaker Mike Johnson debacle, and we've got a lot to say about this today, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with us. So Speaker Johnson is in the throes of chaos within the Republican Party, and Congressman Thomas Massie, by the way, now the latest to say that he will join in MTG's effort to vacate the chair. I mean, that's how crazy it's getting right now. This would be Republican number two, who now supports the effort to remove Mike Johnson from power. Now, Thomas Massie from Kentucky, who's been a guest on the program before, now says, and by the way, he is a member of the Rules Committee. He says he will co-sponsor the resolution to remove Johnson as Speaker of the House. And he said that what Mike Johnson needs to do now is pre-announce his resignation so that Republicans can pick a new speaker without ever being without a speaker. So the plan is to get somebody handpicked before all of this takes place. Now, this is a big deal, and I'm not surprised by this. The only thing I am surprised by is that more Republicans are not jumping on board and supporting this. Now, Johnson, by the way, just a little while ago said he will not be resigning. Cut number 18.
What is your response to Republicans who say this move should cost you your job and that if you don't resign, they will try to oust you?
I am not resigning, and it is, in my view, an absurd notion that someone would bring a vacate motion when we are simply here trying to do our jobs. It is not helpful to the cause. It is not helpful to the country. It does not help the House Republicans advance our agenda, which is in the best interest of the American people here, a secure border, sound governance. And it's not helpful to the unity that we have in the body.
All right. So, but there is no unity in the body. There's none whatsoever. So, look, here's the deal. What's going to happen here if, in fact, this goes to a vote? Democrats will step in and they will save Mike Johnson. And the reason why the Democrats will do this is because Mike Johnson is a de facto Democrat Speaker of the House right now. Mike Johnson is doing the will and he's doing the bidding of Joe Biden and Chuckie Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries. So there's really no need to upset any apple carts. I mean, this is the way that the Democrats and the Democrats are very practical about these things. And they realize their agenda is getting moved through the Congress thanks to Speaker Mike Johnson, who allegedly is a Republican. Now, Tucker Carlson asked a very interesting and posited a very interesting theory about this. Tucker believes that somebody has something on Johnson, and therefore, if you extrapolate from that, that Mike Johnson is being blackmailed. And so Mike Johnson is reported, well, according to Tucker, he believes that Mike Johnson has been compromised. We don't know how, and I don't even know if that's true. It may be that Mike Johnson is just an incredibly weak and bad leader. That can be true, and he can still be a good and decent person, or he could be corrupted in some way. he would not be the first Speaker of the House to find himself in that sort of a situation. It's a kerfuffle, though, ladies and gentlemen. So here's the argument. This is why people are so upset, is that instead of focusing on our southern border, Mike Johnson now wants to combine the aid package to Ukraine with Israel and Taiwan, and he wants to bind all of that together and shove that foreign aid package through the House. So we told you this was going to happen yesterday. We told you to get ready because it just seemed like at the time that all of this, the attack on Israel had been choreographed, and the whole point of all of this was to convince the Republicans in Congress to go along with an emergency aid package that would also include funding for Ukraine, which is ultimately what this is all about. Biden doesn't care about Taiwan. They care about Ukraine, and they want Ukraine to be fully funded. So that's what's going on here. A lot of moving parts. Now, Massey is pretty upset about this. MTG is upset about it, but I'm not sure it really matters at the end of the day, because the Democrats are getting what they want out of Speaker Mike Johnson. And that's the problem, by the way. Mike Johnson is telling Republicans one thing in private and then coming out and doing the exact opposite. And it's really angering a lot of lawmakers. And it's frustrating a lot of people that are members of the House Freedom Caucus, because they saw Mike Johnson as a friend, but now they don't know what the heck is going on with this guy. So we're going to pay attention to this. This is going to be very tricky for Mike Johnson, and it very well could come back to bite him in the behind. That's what could very well happen. So we'll keep you updated here. This is pretty significant, though, that Thomas Massey now jumping into the fray. I would not be surprised to see other Republicans, but again, it may be a moot point because the Democrats may step in. And when they do, you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Mike Johnson has been compromised by the Democrats. 901-260-5926. Question is, is this all a moot point? Should MTG just let it be? Let's finish out the year. Let's get to November and then let Donald Trump handle it. By the way, Donald Trump, and that's one of the reasons why Donald Trump had Mike Johnson come down to Mar-a-Lago. It wasn't coincidental. There was a reason, and the reason why is that Trump wants people to know that Johnson is on his team. But I'm not sure that's going to do the trick here, because again, it's all about the actions. And clearly right now, Mike Johnson is very intent on funding Ukraine, which is something he vehemently opposed until he became Speaker of the House. And the question for a lot of people is, all right, what's going on here? Why is this guy all of a sudden, why is Mike Johnson changing his positions on virtually every issue he opposed or stood for, he is now either for or against? Why is that? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. So another issue, and this is unfolding at the border, but there is a flyer that's been posted along the border in Brownsville, Texas. And this flyer is encouraging illegal aliens to vote in the upcoming presidential election in this country, America. So the Daily Signal got a hold of this, and the Oversight Project, the flyers were literally posted on walls in this resource center in Matamoros, Mexico, which is directly across the border from Brownsville, Texas. And I want to read to you what these flyers said. It's a very simple message. Reminder to vote for President Biden. When you are in the United States, we need another 4 years of his term to stay open. Now, this resource center, by the way, is getting money from the George Soros Open Borders Foundation. To make matters more bizarre, Alejandro Mayorkas, who is the Homeland Security Secretary, about to go on trial, He actually served on the board of directors for one of the organizations involved in all of this. So understand, now you have a Biden appointee who was just impeached, and one of the organizations that he's been on the board of directors of is now encouraging illegals to break federal law, because it is against the law, ladies and gentlemen, for any illegal, for any non-U.S. citizen to vote in a federal election. So you say, Todd, what's going on here? It's very simple, ladies and gentlemen. We now have further evidence, and this is rock solid evidence and proof, that the Democrats are urging illegals to break the law and vote in our elections. So now do you understand why these illegals are being dispatched all over America? Do you understand now why the illegals are being sent to your communities? Because they're being given orders to go and vote on Election Day. And this is why we need some sort of a federal law on the books that requires people on Election Day to get out there before they cast their ballot. They have to show proof of citizenship. I mean, it really is that simple. But it looks to me like the Democrats have been caught red-handed here. And if nothing else, there's no doubt in my mind that all of this has been going on. But now we have the proof. You've got these open borders organizations that are now urging illegals to sabotage our federal election process here. All right, we're going to take your calls on that as well. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime, and you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right, we're also watching, monitoring the court hearing today and the court case involving President Trump in New York City. What a mess. We're dealing, ladies and gentlemen, when it's all said and done, we're dealing with At the very worst, this is a bookkeeping clerical error, which could be classified as a misdemeanor at worst. This is really nothing. It's a big nothing burger. But the point of this is really not to send Trump to jail, which they hope it does. But I don't think that's the point. The point is to keep him off the campaign trail and to keep him preoccupied with this trial and not the election. By the way, yesterday, and I'll give you an example, the idea that the judge is going to let a woman off so she can go to her daughter's wedding, but at the same time, he's going to tell President Trump, no, you can't go to your son's graduation ceremony, that tells you all you need to know. You know, Trump was talking about this earlier today. He said, all right, who's going to explain this to my wonderful son, Barron? A great student at a fantastic school that his dad will likely not be allowed to attend his graduation ceremony. This is all about destroying Trump and hurting his family. Understand, this evil monster of a judge, Juan Merchan, who literally wants to cause pain and suffering to little Barron Trump. Okay, he's what, 7 feet tall? He's tall, Barron Trump, but you get the point. You understand what I'm trying to say. But I'm telling you, I think the American people, I think this is all going to blow back on them in a way they cannot even remotely imagine. I may be wrong here, but I don't think I am, because I'm normally not on this kind of stuff. I think the American people are looking at this and saying, really? They're not going to let the poor guy go to his son's graduation? What's wrong with these people? All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Robert in North Carolina, WSIC, our great station there. Hi, Robert. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Two things. One, we have two parties. One seems to be bent on destroying the country, and the other, while they're on the other side of issues, can't seem to get together on anything. So partly I wanted to know what we can do about that. And also, my biggest question is, who do you think could handle? You keep saying that Mike Johnson's got to go. Who exactly do you think could actually handle that when half of our own people are fighting anybody in that position?
You know, it's a fair question, Robert. And I'm not sure that there's anyone in the bunch, aside from maybe a Jim Jordan, who could probably corral everybody together. But even Jordan could not get the votes when push came to shove. The problem is, you know, you've got a lot of folks out there in the talk radio world that are talking about, we've got this great conservative caucus in the Republican Party. We really don't. We have a centrist party at best, and the conservatives simply do not control enough of the party to really get a good person in that position, which is why we got stuck with Mike Johnson. So maybe a Jim Jordan, someone like that, but the reality is it may need to be somebody who is more moderate, but is willing to do the, or as willing to at least adapt some of the conservative agenda. Right now, Johnson, who claims to be a conservative, is just completely abandoning every conservative principle out there.
Well, I would love to see somebody that could actually handle the job and be accepted by enough of the party to unify it, because it is obviously not unified right now.
They would have been better off keeping Kevin McCarthy in place. At least you know where that guy's coming from. With Johnson, he has really betrayed a lot of people up on Capitol Hill and in the conservative media world.
Yeah, I think he's a very good person. I just don't know if he's strong enough in all the ways he needs to be strong to handle all the pressure and all the different angles.
Robert, who do you like? Who do you like for Speaker of the House?
Well, Jim Jordan probably among those, you know, in that group would be my choice. But I don't know, really. I'm just not sure anybody within that known group could handle it any better than Mike Johnson is. It was like Trump was fighting half of his party through his administration. Whoever is in the speaker's position is going to be obviously fighting at least half of his party too. So I don't know how you handle that.
All right. Well, Robert, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. Let's go to Dan. All right, Dan, what say you?
Well, I think y'all hit the nail on the head there about the Republican Party. I think the people in this country need to put pressure on their representatives that the Republicans stand for the platform that they've put out there, and not waver from it. You know, you've got too many so-called Republicans that are moderate Democrats at best. You know, I mean, the way they vote and things like that, they don't stick to that platform, and it's up to us to, you know, through the ballot box or through emailing these people daily. I mean, my state or my local or my representative, we're almost on a one-on-one basis now because, you know, I give him my opinion and he appreciates it. So same way with your senators, you know, but I don't understand why the chairperson or, you know, if the Democrats don't go in lockstep to their party, what do? They ostracize the person, you know?
But the problem here, Dan, and
cut them up the knee.
And you will hear very few people acknowledge this problem. I think the Republican Party, the voters, all right, the grassroots of the party, I believe, are more conservative than the people that are currently representing them in the Congress, and especially in the House of Representatives. And that's the problem. That's why really nothing can get done. And then when you try to find someone, that's why I think with McCarthy, you know, hindsight being what it is, we would have been better off with him, because at least he was standing up for some of the conservative platform. Mike Johnson, he's burned it all down. Burned it all down. Dan, we got to run. Appreciate that call. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. All right. Well, there's a developing situation outside of the City Hall in New York City. This is somewhat entertaining, but also incredibly troubling. So at this hour, hundreds, if not thousands, of illegals, mostly from Northern Africa, which means there's got to be a couple of jihadists in the mix. They're upset. They are fired up. Now, you might remember that New York City declared itself a sanctuary city. They wanted the illegals to come to the Big Apple and to experience all that the Big Apple had to offer up. Maybe a stay at the Ritz-Carlton, a delicious pastrami on rye, maybe even a bagel with a schmear. And so what happened? Well, Texas Governor Greg Abbott and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, they decided to charter airplanes and buses so that all the illegals would be given free transportation to New York City. And they've been over, well, New York City says they've been overwhelmed. I would say, what, about 20, 30,000 illegals? Certainly they can accommodate that big of a crowd. So anyway, so now the city is in the throes of chaos. They don't have any place to put the illegals. So they had been putting them in these luxury hotels. I mean, these illegals are being given things that the average American citizen is not getting. They're getting three hot meals a day. They're getting free clothing. Well, free. It's all taxpayer-funded, of course. So when I say free, I mean taxpayer-funded. So they're getting all medical care, you name it, they're getting it. So now the illegals are being moved out of the luxury hotels, and they're being moved into these shelters. And the illegals are just enraged over all of this. And right now they are swarming City Hall. I would say they are very upset. They're trying to occupy City Hall. And they're demanding. And you know what's really interesting about these illegals? They want to come to America to live the American dream, right? I mean, that's what we're being told, right? I love America. I love America. America free, free. No, America, we thought they were chanting about freedom, but they wanted the free stuff. And so now that they're starting to wean them off the free stuff, the illegals are going bonkers. But what I find fascinating about these people, they're always flying their own flags. So they're escaping from tyranny, allegedly, and yet they come to America, and instead of flying the American flag, they fly the flag of their home country. You ever wondered why that is? Anyway, Laura Loomer is out there in New York City amongst all the people, and the city council is trying to figure out what to do here. They're creating a team of advisors to improve the migrant experience in the city. They're calling themselves new arrivals, by the way. That's the new term that they're, you can't call them illegals anymore. You have to call them new arrivals. Oh, that reminds me. We've got a crazy, let me put a pin in this story for just a moment. All you folks in North Carolina, what's going on with your state? What's going on over there? So there is a young man, and he's in big trouble because he used the term illegal alien in his English class. And now this kid is facing a 3-day suspension. So the way the story goes, this is from the Carolina Journal. And the student, his name is Christian McGee. He's a student at Central Davidson High School in Lexington, North Carolina. Is that a liberal town? Is Lexington, North Carolina woke? Christian McGee, age 16, was suspended for 3 days. And the reason why is he used the term illegal alien during a vocabulary assignment in his English class. So you know how these vocabulary lessons go. The teacher will throw out a word, and you have to use it in a phrase or in a sentence. And so in this particular case, the word was alien. So Christian said, well, I need some clarification. Are you talking about like space aliens or illegal aliens without green cards? That's what he asked. It's actually a fair question. According to an email describing the incident, another student in the class took offense and threatened to fight the 16-year-old. So the teacher calls in the assistant principal, and instead of punishing the kid who jumped up and threatened to, like, throw punches, they suspended Christian. And they said his use of the word illegal alien was offensive and disrespectful to his classmates, who apparently are overwhelmingly, you guessed it, Hispanic. Now, Christian says, I didn't make a statement directed towards anyone. I asked a question. I wasn't talking about Hispanics because everyone from other countries needs green cards. And the term illegal alien is an actual term that I hear on the news and you can find in the dictionary. This is all true. All true. Now, the problem is that Christian is an athlete, and he runs track and cross country, and he's concerned that he may not be able to get into a college now that he has been accused of racism. This is a valid concern. So far, Christian's mom says they reached out to the school, but the school refuses to remove the infraction from her son's record, so now they're working with an attorney. This is not good, ladies and gentlemen. Not good at all. Now, look, there's nothing wrong with the term illegal alien, but I will say this. Maybe, just maybe, there were a good many illegal aliens in that public school classroom. Maybe that's the big problem here in Lexington, North Carolina. Wow. Well, good luck to you, Cameron. We're trying to get him on the show either today or sometime this week, if at all possible. But what a crazy story coming out of North Carolina. I'm telling you, open season, ladies and gentlemen. It is open season on American citizens, especially you of the law-abiding Caucasian persuasion types. By the way, are you tired of all of the woke services like Netflix, Disney Plus, Hulu? Well, if so, you need to get Newsmax Plus, the fastest growing streaming service in America. Newsmax Plus, guess what you're going to get? Newsmax Channel, all your great shows, Greg Kelly, Eric Bolling, and Newsmax 2, featuring yours truly. You're also going to get real news and informed opinion from folks like Mike Huckabee and Dick Morris and Victor David Davis Hanson. President Trump says Newsmax Plus is absolutely terrific. Get this, you're going to be able to bypass the big media, and you're going to be able to get some great documentaries and great news coverage. By the way, we cover all of the big Trump rallies, and we never censor President Trump like the other guys do. So, the best news, you can start with a free trial. It costs absolutely nothing. You could do that by going to NewsmaxPlus.com. That's NewsmaxPlus.com to register. That's NewsmaxPlus.com.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
By the way, folks, Mother's Day is coming up, and I would love to be able to sign a copy of my new book for your mom or grandmother or your aunt. All you have to do is go to ToddStearns.com, and you can order a copy right now. You know, it's interesting. It's the book is actually the cheapest on my website. So if you get it at Amazon, you're going to be about, what, $35? It's only $25 over at ToddStearns.com, and you get a personalized autographed copy just in time for Mother's Day. So if you would like a copy, just go to ToddStearns.com and click on the store tab at the top of the page, and we're going to get you going. All right, let's go to the phone line. Susan in North Carolina, WTKF, our great affiliate out there. Hi, Susan. What's on your mind?
Well, Todd, the biggest thing on my mind this morning was the boy in Lexington, North Carolina. I feel like if this is happening, especially in what I used to think was a conservative state, because this is where I'm from, this is a dangerous precedent to set, especially since we're supposed to have freedom of speech, and then this is going to go on this boy's record. There's nothing about what he said that is racist. This is just a fact. He probably doesn't even know that how many of the students in his class might have come over here illegally. You know, you can't make an assumption. If they're in your class, you might think that they actually belong here. So what happened to him is extremely, like I said, it's extremely dangerous for our whole country for people to be able to be expelled or suspended or cast into a situation of being called a racist. We're in the position now that we can't say anything anymore without being called racist, whether we are or whether we're not. So I was quite upset about that. There's so many things that are pertinent to what you've been saying this morning about President Trump and the border. And then to come down and find out that you can't even say anything without being afraid to put your thoughts out there or ask a question.
And Susan, again, it's one thing if the kid is in the middle of the class getting up and you know, getting into the face of a Hispanic student and asking that question. Okay, I could possibly see that being an issue. But here, it's just according to the way the story has been told and presented, that this young man simply asked a question. And it's actually a fair question, and there's nothing offensive about what that kid said, unless there are a bunch of illegals in that classroom.
Exactly. But like I said, how is he to know that unless the teacher introduces him, these students, says, they broke into our border, which is what I think they're doing. They broke into our border, and every one of the people in here that you see, little Jose over there or whoever, they actually illegally came into our country. He wouldn't know that.
It's true.
So, and the fact that he's playing sports, in my opinion, probably put a target on his back for a liberal run school. And as we know, the government is pushing this agenda with school teachers. I know many school teachers who are actually quitting the profession because they're being told what they have to do and what they have to say with their students, which in my opinion is absolutely unconscionable. The I can't say this on the radio, but the BS that they're being told to send out to our young children, it's quite disturbing.
Yeah. All right, Susan, appreciate that call, and you're spot on there. By the way, we're following the developments. It's getting worse outside of New York City Hall. They're now saying thousands of illegals are gathered. So here's the deal. Call up the military. Say, hey, we need some soldiers down at City Hall, and round them all up and send them back to where they came from. How difficult is that? All right, let's go to Charles in North Carolina. A lot of Tar Heel State callers today. Hi, Charles. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. So, Todd, regarding illegal immigration and what's going on in New York and around the country, so I was listening to a podcast, and this senior investigative journalist with the Epoch Times, a very respected newspaper, was just giving a rundown on this conveyor belt of illegals coming into the country, and it was very enlightening. And what he was saying, Todd, was that the Biden administration got us into a treaty with the United Nations called the Global Compact for Migration. Trump got us out of it. Biden got us back into it. And basically what this is the United Nations, in conjunction with NGOs, are flying in millions of illegals into South America, Central America. And then what they do is they put them on buses or planes, and then they get them to the U.S.-Mexican border. Once they get there, Todd, what they do is they turn themselves in to Border Patrol, and they download this app called CBP-1. The Border Patrol then takes them to these detention centers where the Department of Homeland Security helps get these people enrolled and all the free stuff that they're demanding in New York City right now. And then from there, they give them a plane ticket to anywhere in the United States that they want to go. And once they're there, they just release them and they let them go in hopes that they're going to get work permits. But that is what's going on. And if the next congressperson on your show, you can ask them if they know about that. I'm sure they do. The Global Compact for Migration. But what's sad about this, Todd, is that this whole thing is being underwritten by U.S. taxpayers to the U.N. that Mike Johnson is very well aware of, and that the Republican Party refuses to defund. So basically, we're underwriting our own destruction. But that's what's going on. This is no longer a great replacement theory, Todd. This is the great replacement policy to change the demographic makeup of the United States as well as the electorate.
Yes, it is the great replacement on a number of levels. And when you see these flyers that are being handed out south of the border, encouraging these people to go and vote in the elections, this is how this deal is going to happen. And we simply cannot allow that to happen. Otherwise, we're not going to have a country. If the Democrats retake this country in November, we will not have a country.
Correct. And they're already announcing that they're going to try to steal it. It's evidenced by what you just brought up at the beginning of your show, by these flyers up there encouraging these illegals to come in here and vote for Joe Biden. So, no, this is all by design. And what infuriates me is that these Republicans in Congress, they only give lip service to doing something about it. When they actually have the power of the purse to defund and take a stand, they don't do it because they're worried about the political ramifications of shutting down the government or being called racist or something like that. But, yeah, no, this is happening right before our eyes, and it's 100% intentional to destroy the country.
All right, Charles, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. Let's see if we can't squeeze in another caller real quick here. Ron in North Carolina, go for it. You got 60 seconds. Ron, we just lost Ron. All right, well, we gave it the old college try. All right, coming up, we're going to be following this breaking news coming out of New York City where it's really a dangerous situation where thousands of military-aged men, and it appears they're all illegals from Northern Africa, which is a hotbed of Islamic radicalism. They are now storming New York City Hall. So far, I believe they've been able to keep an out of the building, but that is a dangerous situation that's unfolding there in New York City. And again, I don't know, why is it these people? It's very simple. All you have to do is call the police in and start rounding these people up. They're illegal. They're breaking the law. I mean, it really is that simple. All right. Coming up, we are going to be checking in with Congressman Ben Klein, a member of the House Freedom Caucus. There's a new development over at National Public Welfare Radio. Tim Graham from Media Research Center is going to drop by and give us an update on that. And also our good buddy, Colonel David Giamona, is going to update us on the latest between Israel and Iran. There is some speculation Iran could or Israel could be retaliating for that attack, and that retaliation could happen in just a matter of hours. So we'll get the latest there. Also, folks, head over to ToddStearns.com and take advantage of all of our free resources. You can sign up for our newsletter, our free podcast, and get yourself a signed copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? We'll be right back, folks.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So happy to have you with us. Now, I want to pass along something. This is coming from our engineers here on the program. There has been some sort of an issue with Westwood One, which is the satellite service where you get most of your national talk radio programs. And the Westwood One satellite is having some technical issues. So if you are listening to us on our stream, as thousands of you do, if you're listening to us on the podcast or on Rumble or you're fine, but if you are listening to us by radio, well, you're not hearing this. So it is what it is. But there's really nothing we can do. We are working with Westwood One, and we'll keep you updated on what's going on. So certainly our apologies. All right, we have a lot going on. We have been following this very bizarre situation in New York City, where thousands of illegals are now descending upon City Hall demanding better conditions. So they're very upset. They're being kicked out of their luxury hotels and being sent to taxpayer-funded shelters. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and welcome Congressman Ben Klein from Virginia's 6th Congressional District, also a member of the House Freedom Caucus. You know, Congressman, seems to me that the first call they ought to be making down at New York City Hall is for immigration and customs enforcement.
No, they need to be calling the White House. The White House is responsible for the open border that's let them in. And you know, color me not very surprised that they're going to be coming in here being lured in by all of these benefits. And then when the benefits don't measure up to their inflated expectations, they demand from government even better treatment. So it's no surprise they should be given a plane ticket put in handcuffs and flown back to their country of origin and barred from ever entering the U.S. again. We need to deport all those who are here illegally.
Well, I'm with you on that. Congressman, we appreciate you coming on again as the articles of impeachment are being presented. This is happening today. Is that right?
Yes. In about an hour, we're going to be presented with the articles by the speaker. Then we're going to march down to the Senate, and they are going to be read by Homeland Security Chairman Mark Green from Tennessee, and all of the 11 of us who have been asked to serve as impeachment managers and argue to the Senate why Alejandro Mayorkas should be impeached are going to be there as well. And we hope that the Senate listens to their constituents and takes this seriously, because the American people are taking it seriously. They want to see a full trial. They want to see Mayorkas removed. They want to see Biden take the border seriously, and they want to see our Speaker of the House take this seriously as well.
The speaking of the Speaker, and we'll get to him in just a second. There's also some information floating around out there of some flyers. Daily Signal has been reporting on this, and these flyers are encouraging illegals to vote in the presidential election. And it's they're really not mincing words here, saying that, you know, they don't want President Trump to be elected. How concerned are you that the that illegals may very well try to vote in the upcoming presidential election?
Extremely concerned. And we just had the Attorney General in front of House Appropriations, and he was asked by Andrew Clyde of Georgia, you know, are you concerned and what steps are you taking? And he didn't he dismissed him. Pretty much. And he said he hadn't heard of the flyer, but Mr. Clyde had a copy of the flyer, so he presented it to him. And, you know, in states like California, illegals voting is not going to influence where that state votes in November. But you know what? There are illegals being flown across this nation by our own government into states that are not blue, that may tip the outcome if they are voting illegally. And so we want to make sure that we have a secure voting system. We asked him about photo ID. He said, well, it could present a barrier to voting if you require a photo ID. But I asked him if there were cases where it doesn't present a barrier. And he said, sure, if it's free and if it's readily available, then photo ID doesn't get in the way of exercising your right to vote. So we anticipate that there should be a lot of different efforts to get people IDs and to require those IDs before people can vote.
Yeah, this is just insanity. And you're right, Congressman. These illegals are being flown specifically to red states, red congressional districts. Even in New York City, they're sending them to the reddest of the congressional districts in Brooklyn. And I can't imagine that's all coincidental. This certainly looks like a coordinated effort by the Democrats to fix elections.
Absolutely. I would say that there are people in both NGOs and in governmental agencies that are acting to encourage illegal activity and illegals voting, and they should be charged and prosecuted for contributing to that type of illegal activity.
All right, Congressman Ben Klein is on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Congressman, this situation with Speaker Johnson, I'm really kind of stunned by all of this. And now we're in a situation where I think Congressman Thomas Massey says that he is going to co-sponsor a motion to vacate. Where do things stand right now with the Speaker?
Well, as I said, definitely know the Speaker to be a personal. He is conservative. He's a Christian, but he is listening too much to establishment voices, both in our conference and even Democrats in the White House and in the Senate, who are telling him he has to continue to pass these bloated funding bills and he has to enact FISA protection without warrant protections. And now they're saying he needs to pass aid to Ukraine and Israel and Taiwan without any kind of immigration or illegal immigration border protection measures. We've always said that we will look at helping nations like Ukraine and Israel, and Israel's different because they are our biggest ally in the Middle East. But look at Ukraine funding if it's after border protection, and we haven't seen that, and we need the Speaker to remind the Senate and remind the White House that border protection is a critical component of this, and without border protection, you're not going to have a lot of Republicans voting for aid to Ukraine. There are no accountability measures, and there's no definition of what success is in Ukraine. This administration has just been throwing money at this conflict and really has no definition of how we're going to define success or even resolve the conflict at the end of the day. What are our goals? We don't even know. So without border protection, it becomes a no across the board, and I think you'll lose a lot of Republican support.
Is he getting counsel from any conservatives, any members of the House Freedom Caucus?
Yes, we are talking to them on a regular basis. Originally, there had been this, I don't want to say presumption, but hope that he would govern as he voted as a member of Congress before he was elected Speaker. Once elected Speaker, though, we saw him make an effort to accommodate to in order to get legislation moved, and often was too accommodating, especially when it came to wasteful spending and Fourth Amendment rights, when it came to FISA on a warrant issue to establishment members. And that is unfortunate, but we're definitely in his ear right now, recognizing that we have to counter those voices with conservative voices and the voices of our constituents.
It just did not have to go down this route. I think that's what's really stunning, is that I, too, have known him to be a good man, a Christian man, a conservative. And he was a regular on the show. But as soon as he got elected Speaker, all communication was cut off. We haven't talked since he was elected. And his people that he's surrounding himself with seems like they are unfriendly to conservatives.
And I think those are people who are forcing themselves into his orbit. And that's where the difference is. You know, I think if you left him to his own devices, yes, he has a conservative heart and he wants to pursue a conservative agenda. And if you put him in a bubble, he would govern based on that conservative heart. But he's not. He's got people who are not conservative in his ear, pushing status quo policies, warning of disaster if you put a warrant requirement on the ability of the FBI to look at Americans' communications as they seek out foreign terrorists under Section 702. That's preposterous. The warrant requirement is actually necessary to protect the Fourth Amendment rights of American citizens. So we need to get in his ear. We are, and the Freedom Caucus members are expressing their concerns now much more loudly and much more vocally about his need to govern in a more conservative manner.
Would you say this is a fair assessment, that if in fact this goes to a vote to vacate, that Democrats would step in and save Johnson?
That would be a concern. I think that we don't want to have to rely on Democrats to elect our speaker. We elect a speaker in conference. The majority should rule. The minority should not get to pick who is the speaker and when. And so that would be a great concern to members of my conference, and it should be a concern to most conservatives across the country. So I'm hopeful that we will meet as a conference, continue to discuss this. The speaker may hear just how important border security is to this package he's pushing this week. And we can, Matt Gaetz had a great suggestion that we should make aid to Ukraine, anything that the House passes, nothing moves until the Senate votes on H.R. 2, which is our major border security legislation, very strong border security legislation we passed over a year ago that's sitting in the Senate, and the Senate has ignored it. Well, let's just say you want something, you better act on H.R. 2 and border security first before we'll even transmit any bill that passes the House down to the Senate. I think that's a reasonable demand.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Appreciate all of your great insight and wisdom here. Certainly some disturbing situations, but let's see what happens.
Stay strong. Thank you.
All right. Congressman Ben Klein, everybody, from the Commonwealth of Virginia, represents District 6. And you heard the congressman say that if, in fact, Democrats step in and save Mike Johnson's hide, that would be incredibly problematic for the Republicans. And it should. The whole thing is just nuts, just absolutely nuts. But again, Speaker Johnson didn't have to go down this path. He is choosing to listen to people. And you just heard the congressman say that Mike Johnson is getting counsel from the Democrats and the White House. That's the problem right there. All right, look, we've got to take a quick break here. And again, folks, we are dealing with a Westwood One satellite issue. So those of you listening to us terrestrially by radio may be having some difficulties. I would encourage you, go and download our app so you can listen to us wherever you are in America. So the app is unaffected. Our live stream on toddstearns.com is unaffected as well. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901 260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. And welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. And again, those of you listening to us on terrestrial radio, well, you're not hearing this message, but our satellite systems are down. We've been working with Westwood One, which we use their satellite system, and it's impacting a lot of talk radio programs across the nation. So we'll keep you updated when all of that gets resolved. But it's also a good reminder to head over and download our free app and also our podcast. You can watch the show on Rumble or Getter or Facebook Live. So those are your options right now. I've been told the live stream is down on the website as well, because that's controlled through Westwood One. So anyway, our team is working on it, so bear with us as we get through this little bit of a hiccup. But you remember when you were a kid and you're sitting there and you're having the big Sunday dinner, and you can't wait for the delicious German chocolate cake, but your mom says you got to eat your vegetables first. Remember those days? Oh, I remember them like they were yesterday. Well, the reason why is that your mom, your grandma, they knew that those veggies were good for you. And it's true. You got to eat your fruits. You got to eat your veggies. And that's why I take Balance of Nature every day. No substitute for a healthy diet like Balance of Nature. Their products are gluten-free, non-GMO. No sugar. They don't contain any synthetics. So if you're looking for something to make you feel better, and you want to feel better naturally, you got to try Balance of Nature. You're going to be able to eat your fruits and veggies every single day with Balance of Nature. And I love it. You're going to love it, too. All you have to do is go to balanceofnature.com and use my promo code Todd. They're going to give you 35% off your offer. That is a pretty darn good deal. So, again, balanceofnature.com. Use the promo code Todd, and they're going to give you this great special offer, 35% off. But you got to use my promo code Todd. Coming up in just a little while, we're going to be talking to Tim Graham, the executive director of Newsbusters and Media Research Center. Big story, new development involving NPR, and one of their internal staffers has now been suspended without pay for going public about bias complaints inside National Public Welfare Radio. So that's going to be an interesting conversation, to say the least. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So a few days ago, we told you about this really sad story out of Memphis, Tennessee, where a 26-year-old police officer was shot and killed by an 18-year-old thug who should have been in jail. Now, the judge, now here in Memphis, they have judicial commissioners who set the bail. This individual was released without bond last month. This kid should have been in jail. And if the kid was in jail, the police officer would still be alive today. Well, now the judge in the case, Judge Bill Anderson, says it was all appropriate that they should have released this thug without bail. Cut 16.
Judge Bill Anderson, who has supervised all judicial commissioners and sat down with us last June to talk about their work, told us by phone today Judicial Commissioner Ingram followed the law.
All that's sitting in front of the commissioner is that he admitted to stealing the cars. Well, okay, maybe he did, but maybe he didn't. Maybe he did under coercion. That's all to be considered in the future. But yes, that is one of the considerations in setting bail.
One among many things commissioners weigh.
At the end of the day, it was his personal decision, my personal thoughts, his personal decision, based on weighing all the factors in front of him, that recognizance release with conditions was appropriate.
Would you have made that decision as a judge?
Don't know. What in my case?
All right, there you go. I mean, what a flippant attitude. A police officer is dead because of the actions of this judge and the judicial commissioner. And it seems to me, if you got a kid stealing cars and you got a kid that's got a gun that he's not supposed to have and he's modified that gun, that kid's butt ought to be back in jail. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. 866-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You know, folks, one of the things that really gets my goat is NPR, National Public Welfare Radio. And I know that people are out there saying, well, Starnes, it's not like it's hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't care if it's a dollar. I don't care if it's a penny. Why is my tax money going to fund NPR? And I ask this question because after I left Fox News, I purchased a news talk radio station in Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM. And we are a for-profit radio station. In other words, we have to make our way. And if we don't, we have to turn off the lights. No, Dylan, don't worry, Dylan. We're doing well. So we're going to make payroll this week. But that's not the point. The point is that the money I make here at KWAM and on this national radio program is going to fund NPR. And I got a problem with that. So anyway, about a week or so ago, there was a senior editor at NPR, and he published an essay, and he basically just spilled the beans and aired the dirty laundry and acknowledged what we all know to be true, that NPR is loaded with liberals, and they are dealing with a raging case of bias. Well, anyway, word has come out now that NPR has suspended the senior editor, Yuri Berliner, without pay while all of this crisis unfolds. Let's bring into the conversation Tim Graham. Tim's the executive director of Newsbusters, and he's director of media analysis at Media Research Center. Tim, good to have you with us today.
Thank you. You know, my dad worked for a private radio station most of his life, and really had the same feeling of, why am I competing with somebody? Why am I donating to a competitor?
It would be like if the government went into the hamburger business, you know. I mean, I think the owners of McDonald's would be a little upset by that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the problem you have here is, it's one thing to say in an era where you had only so many radio stations to listen to, and they were always saying, well, we need something truly public service oriented. Now, again, the whole idea of public TV and radio in just the broad expanse of communication and social media we have today, it's just, there's really not much of a rationale for it at all anymore.
But for the broader, you know, I think the broader issue, though, is the fact that people just can't trust the news they're getting either on the radio or on cable television or online these days. And Tim, I'm curious, how big of a problem is that?
Well, I mean, here's my problem with public broadcasting. They do take tens or hundreds of millions of dollars through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and then they play these shell games. Well, we send all the money to the stations, and then the stations send it back for programming. That's a really convenient little shell game. But there's really no difference between MSNBC and a PBS or an NPR. Oh, we sound calmer, but we make all the same points Olbermann would. You know, it is utterly unnecessary, and it's very much part of the leftist media machine. I mean, this is liberal talk radio could never get off the ground because they already had NPR on the ground.
It's a fair point, and was it Air America, the
right,
liberal radio? Oh yeah, and I've always discovered this is a very, we're going off on a tangent here, but the only way liberal talk radio works is late at night, early in the morning. I don't think any other time it doesn't work.
Well, and liberals, you know, the fact of the matter is they're generally not populists; they're elitists.
True.
And there's not many things more elitist than National Public Radio, where all the smart people listen to get smarter.
You know, Tim, when I was listening to you there, you reminded me of the SNL skit, the Schwetty Balls.
Yeah.
Schwetty.
Well, that was funny because they nail sort of the way they do things, you know, in terms of the sound of it.
And the sweaters. Yes, you're right. Tim, this is terrible. But when you look broadly at where we are, you know, and the state of media in America, I think it's sad. And I'm one of these guys that used to enjoy Sunday afternoon brunch in New York City, open up the big Sunday Times, and you used to be able to enjoy reading it. And now it's just, I think they've taken the joy out of journalism as well as the fair and the balanced part of it.
I think that, yes, I've been on this job now for 35 years. And if you go back to the late 80s and pull out a yellowed newspaper, the tone of the stories would be a lot more objective. It would read like a news story. It would not read like a blazing editorial. And we've been headed in that direction for years now. You would find those occasional stories that were very editorializing in the New York Times and you'd laugh at them, but it is standard now. You know, journalists come out of college now and they expect that everybody should respect their 24-year-old opinion, instead of just reporting facts. Or the facts are very carefully arranged to make the point, to make the narrative that everybody wants to make. And we're all going to use the same terms. This was part of what Berliner was objecting to at NPR, is that, you know, when you get a term like, he didn't say this in particular, but it's one of my favorites. When you say abortion care, when you say gender affirming care, you're using Orwellian language, you know, killing a baby is not caring for a baby. You know, amputating your sexual organs is not gender affirming. And yet these are the sorts of terms that are forced upon media outlets by interest groups, by advocacy groups who have an agenda, who want to change the debate. And that's part of what he was objecting to. And his colleagues are hopping mad about it and suggesting that somehow his article was filled with errors and omissions because they don't really want to have an honest debate about liberal bias and these terms.
Tim, you guys document this and have done a phenomenal job over the years, both at Newsbusters and Media Research Center. Is it salvageable in journalism in America? How do we get back to doing, you know, at least a halfway decent job of reporting the news in this country?
Well, I mean, we have a very strong conservative media now that does great reporting. There's still some good reporting being done in the establishment media, but the minute it has there's a political interest involved, that's where it always has a tendency to go off the rails. You know, we'll sit here, we could watch like the CBS Evening News, and you might say, well, that's 22 minutes without the commercials. And, at least half of it was okay. You know, I mean, you're not going to, there are storms in the Midwest. Well, okay. You know, the only way that gets biased is when they start saying, and it was all climate change. So, I mean, there's a lot of reporting out there that you can trust. It's just that once you get to, the historic trial of Trump, you're in a very political area. And they're going to use these words that try to boost this idea that it doesn't even matter whether Trump is guilty or innocent. All that matters is look at the 91 indictments. He must be guilty of something.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point. you're absolutely right. All right, Tim, where can people go if they want to check out the great work of MRC and Newsbusters?
Yeah, we're at newsbusters.org. MRC.org gives you the wider story, but yes, we've been around since 1987. And, we've got a massive video archive to demonstrate it.
You sure do. All right, Tim, doing great work as always, and we appreciate you coming on the show today.
Thank you, Todd.
All right, Tim Graham, everybody, Executive Director of Newsbusters and the Director of Media Analysis at the Media Research Center. They're all over it. And if you're looking for some good documentation of what American journalism is really all about these days, you got to go check those guys out. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. MTG is on the warpath, saying that Mike Johnson is the deep state speaker. We'll see how all that goes, but it's not looking good. By the way, yesterday, did you see all these pictures? You had the pro-Hamas Jew haters, and they're out there in New York City literally setting fire to the American flag. Any of you folks see? We've got the video up at toddstearns.com. I would encourage you to go and check that out. It's really despicable what's going on in this country. Yesterday, they had all these coordinated attacks with the paid pro-Hamas people, and they were shutting down interstates, roadways, bridges. People were stuck on the Golden Gate Bridge for over 5 hours. So imagine you're just a regular Joe. You're going to work. You can't even get to the office because these morons are blocking the roadways. Now, you had Congressman or Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas say that the American people ought to start taking matters into their own hands, and he really didn't explain, well, what does that mean? Are we talking about four-wheel drive? Are we talking about, I don't know, bear spray? Water cannons? He did say that if something like this happened in Arkansas, that the protesters would be wet, suggesting they might be hurled over the bridge. I don't know. I'm not sure what he meant by that. But I will say, I love how they're doing this in some of the other countries where the motorists are literally getting out of their cars and they're dragging the protesters off into like a ditch or something. And I don't have a problem with that. Again, you're breaking the law. So why aren't the police arresting these people? They had police on the Brooklyn, on the Brooklyn Bridge. By the way, they had a protest there. Also at Chicago's O'Hare International Airport, SeaTac, that's Seattle Tacoma International Airport. And then you've got these yahoos that are out there burning the American flag and chanting death to America. Nobody's doing anything about it. Again, if you hate America so much, why don't you take your pro-Hamas buttocks and go to Gaza? Or, I don't know, try Tehran. I'm sure you'll feel very comfortable there. You know, the great irony in all of this is you've got the alphabet activist out there, and they want to be, I don't know, this is like the woke cause du jour. And so they're all wanting to protest alongside the Muslims. And so they're marching and they're chanting and they want to be one with the Muslim people. That's the whole point of all this. Free, free Palestine. Well, the problem is, and maybe these people are just ignorant, but the reality is they don't like gay people over there. Hate to break it to you, but the Muslims, they don't like you folks. No, especially the lesbians. They don't like them. I'm just saying, they're literally throwing gay people off of buildings in some Islamic countries right now. And meanwhile, you have these alphabet activists in this country marching in the streets defending them. Could someone explain that to me? How does all of that play out? You can't make this stuff up. And it just seems to me, if we're going to be fighting for freedom in America, it's all hands on deck. And if you're going to come to this country and you're going to burn the American flag and you're going to chant death to America, then your butt is out of here. You're gone. 901-260-5926. But Todd, it's the Constitution. I don't care. You're gone. You're out of here. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. It's terrible. Oh, I've got to play this audio. So this is a pro-Palestinian protester. Her name is Riti Patel, and she's threatening to murder the mayor and city council in Bakersfield, California. Cut number two.
Hi there, my name is Riti Patel. I'm here to speak in support of the City Council introducing a ceasefire resolution, specifically the one United Liberation Front has drafted. I don't have faith that you'll do this. You guys are all horrible human beings, and Jesus probably would have killed you himself. And the thing is, though, it's very clear to me as someone who's been an organizer for the past couple of years that none of you care, because you guys don't care about anything happening in Palestine or any other country where oppression occurs, because you don't care about the oppression occurring here. And I understand that you guys are all horrible people, but the thing is, 2,300 people being evicted in the last year, those are votes. And you guys, those are votes to win here in Bakersfield. And while you guys parade Gandhi around as a Hindu holiday called Chaitra Navratri starts off this week, I remind you that these holidays that we practice, that other people in the global south practice, believe in violent revolution against their oppressors.
Okay, my apologies there, ladies and gentlemen. So it got a little nasty there at the end. So, wow. So she actually threatened to murder the mayor and city council there in Bakersfield, California. She was arrested, this woman. And it did not end well for her. So the pro-Palestinian protester was charged. It is absolutely a crime to threaten to kill people. And so now she's being held on, what, $1 million bail? Is that right? $1 million? And not only that, she has now been fired from her little woke job. And she's boo-hooing in front of the judge, begging for mercy.
I was just being philosophical. I didn't mean a literal murder. Please don't put me in jail.
Sorry. That's how we do things in America, Miss Riddhi Patel. But again, this is what we're dealing with here. And she is absolutely right. These people believe in violent revolution. And so what are they doing? They are literally bringing these people into the United States of America. That's what's going on. They're bringing these monsters into this country. And the reason why is very clear. I lay all of this out in my book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. And I explain that we are dealing with a communist infestation in this country. And the communists want to overthrow our current way of life. And one of the ways they're doing that is destabilizing the culture by bringing people like this chick into America, to places like Bakersfield, California. And I say good on the mayor. Her name is Karen Goh, who's a Republican, by the way. Good for her for not putting up with this nonsense. Yeah, this woman's a psycho. Psycho Patel is what her name is. And good riddance to you. And let's hope that she spends a lot of time in jail. And then, if she's not an American citizen, we deport her butt. All right, got to take a break here. Unbelievable. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. Great to have you with us today. And it's kind of a weird day, so just bear with us. We are getting word from Westwood One, which is our satellite provider. We have had some sort of an issue. It's not us. So can we blame? Is it permissible to blame? Dylan, turn your microphone on. Can we throw Westwood One under the bus? Are we allowed to do that?
I don't know. I'm not going to. You can.
It's not us. So anyway, the way it works is that the beautiful radio program that emanates from Memphis, Tennessee is shot up in the air. into the atmosphere to this big, huge, beautiful satellite, and there are some issues with the internet at Westwood One. So our apologies. We should have everything back in good working order, and we certainly appreciate that. But that's just sort of where things have been right now. Anyway, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. A couple of big stories we're following out of D.C. right now. There are efforts underway to oust Speaker Mike Johnson for betraying conservatives on Capitol Hill. We're following that story, as well as the impeachment articles now being presented to the U.S. Senate. That is happening as well. So we'll let you know if anything big happens there. In the meantime, we're also waiting to find out what Israel is going to do in response to Iran's attack over the weekend. I want to bring into the conversation good friend of this program. He is the co-author of Our Mission in God's Army, our good friend, retired Colonel David Giamona. Colonel, hope you're doing good today.
You know, Todd, I'm doing great. And, you know, you mentioned weird things happening. Well, I told Troy Anderson, my co-author on Your Mission in God's Army, the book is released today. And every time we have a book release, world events are exploding. And this is no exception. So
right.
It's going to be an interesting conversation.
Okay, no more books. That's it. You're done as an author. So we can't
That's it.
We can't have anything else happening. We're going to talk about the book in just a minute, but I am curious to get your take on what happens next. I know John Bolton. Do we have that audio from John Bolton earlier today talking about what Israel's going to do? I want to get your reaction. Cut 19, please.
Israel has to respond very firmly here. I think that has to mean targets on Iranian soil to counter what Iran tried to do to Israel. I think to establish deterrence, again, Israel has to respond disproportionately. So my guess is they'll be looking at a minimum at hitting the bases, the locations from which the attacks on Israel were launched, taking out air defense capabilities so their pilots are safe, maybe looking at other Revolutionary Guard or conventional military facilities in Iran. I personally believe they should also go after Iran's nuclear weapons program. That's controversial, to say the least. So my compromise there is, how about an Israeli cyber attack against Iran's nuclear program? They've done it before with some success. This would be the occasion for the mother of all cyber attacks against the nuclear program.
So what do you think about that, Colonel? Do you think that that Israel could, in fact, retaliate here?
Oh, absolutely. They're going to have to. They've already decided they're going to. They've had their fifth minister's cabinet meeting today on the military option. Everything is on the option. They're going to have to attack Iran's infrastructure, military infrastructure, as John said. And also, they're going to have to take out nuclear facilities one way or the other. They cannot allow Iran to, fire weapons of mass destruction into Israel. The other thing is, and this is kind of a really interesting, you know, I don't care how good your military is, you cannot intercept 320 drones and missiles. And it is not just a military technology that's astounding. I believe God's protecting Israel. There's no question about it. Even Ben Shapiro, who's not a Christian, but he's a Jewish believer, said the same thing yesterday. So there's some interesting things going on in the physical and spiritual aspects of this war.
You know, the whole thing was just weird, and I described it yesterday as being somewhat choreographed. Would you say that's a good description of what happened here?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. That's a good word, choreographed. It's just like out of a script, out of a book. And I have been in a Patriot missile battery, and even Patriot missile, how sophisticated it is, can't take everything out of the sky. But this thing was just very interesting. Iran's got to be scratching its head right now thinking, what just happened? And do we want to further engage this country? Iran made a serious tactical and strategic error over this weekend.
On the other side of this, the United States, and through the reporting of many news agencies, the reporting is that the United States knew about all of this in advance and actually told Iran, okay, you can attack, but it's got to be a limited attack. I mean, this is it's sort of shocking, but basically our tax dollars were defending Israel and attacking Israel at the same time.
Yeah, nothing surprises me anymore, Todd. I've lived so long. It's just unbelievable what's going on. Joe Biden's doing a great tap dance right now. On one mouth, he's saying, we're not going to support Israel. And the other, he is supporting Israel. And the other side of all of this is, I think, a Sunni-Shiite war going on. Look at Saudi Arabia and Jordan, Israel, you know, together with the UK and America against the Shiite countries, Sunni-Shiite. It's the religious split right down the middle right now.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Colonel David Giamona, co-author of a brand new book, Our Mission in God's Army. So, Colonel, let's play this out. I mean, the United States is telling Israel not to retaliate. I'm not sure we have a right to tell any nation not to retaliate. What say you?
This is hilarious, Todd. I don't mean to laugh. This is a very serious situation. But Joe's trying to appease in a political year, presidential year, he's trying to appease Michigan, Chicago, you know, all these areas with Islam. And at the same time, he doesn't want to alienate Israel and our ally in the Middle East. And he's saying one thing and doing another, but it's not surprising. So it's going to continue. And when Israel attacks Iran, you better believe the United States will be in support. So will other allied countries. There's no question we need that ally in the Middle East.
It is one of the most important allies, I think, Colonel. And again, we will be following this, but really some very bizarre times that we're living in. I want to talk about your book, Our Mission in God's Army, Discovering and Completing Your Faith-Filled Assignment Before Christ's Return. All right, what is our faith-filled assignment that you're talking about?
Well, it's interesting. The book's coming out today, of all days, as I said earlier. And the faith-filled assignment is several things. Number one, you know, the Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We believe that we should be on the side of Israel, and our mission is to protect Israel, pray for Israel. But our God-given assignment, Jesus gave it to us. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. Todd, you and I right now know that the church is fractured. It's not making disciples, hardly any making converts. At the same time, there's revival breaking out. There's a parallel process as we're headed streaking toward the end of the end times. This book we wrote, Troy and I, to get people practical advice of what they ought to do in very fearful times. The first thing we tell everybody, don't be afraid. God is for us, and he is going to protect us. He's going to bless us. We just got to follow the leadership and the guidance in the Word of God to us as, you know, as the end approaches. And things are just going to get stranger, Todd. They're going to get darker and stranger as we're approaching the end of the end times.
It does seem that there's a lot of anxiety out there among conservatives and people of faith. How do you remedy that, Colonel?
Well, you know, Jesus himself said that, and I love this. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. But he also said something that really is comforting to all of us. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The good news, Todd, is that the Lord is not going to leave us, he's not going to forsake us. I've been in battle many times. And what I tell everybody is this, because snipers were shooting at me in Iraq, and I've been in very dangerous situations. Well, I'm immortal, and so are you and everybody else who follows the Lord until the Lord decides to call us home. We're not given a spirit of fear, the Bible says. We're given a sound mind, and our trust is not in the president. It's not in Congress. It's not in church. It's in Jesus Christ, and we've got to just cling to him every moment and every day as we get through these times.
All right. Again, the brand new book out today, Our Mission in God's Army, Discovering and Completing Your Faith-Filled Assignment Before Christ's Return. Colonel, it's always exciting having a new book out. How long did it take you to write this particular book?
Well, it's been in process about 2 years. And we wanted to get out sooner, but we couldn't do it. And the publisher said, today's the day, and this is God's timing. I mean, it is just, everybody's asking me, did you guys plan this book to come out today? I said, no. But this is what, how God puts everything out. But, yeah, it was a two-year process.
Well, you know, you and Joel Rosenberg, right? You two guys make me nervous. Every time you write a book, something bad happens.
Yeah, exactly. The last time Military Guide to Armageddon came out, it was the day of insurrection, and it was COVID, and everything else was hitting at the same time. So I don't know what to tell you. Maybe I should stop writing.
No, don't do that. That's desperate. Don't do that, Colonel. Well, congratulations on the new book. And again, folks, you can find it at your favorite bookstore, also online at Amazon. Our Mission in God's Army, Discovering and Completing Your Faith-Filled Assignment Before Christ to Return. Colonel, congratulations on the new book.
Thank you, sir, and it's always a pleasure to be on your show.
All right. There you go, folks. Colonel David Giamona, a very brilliant strategist when it comes to the military and also a terrific writer as well. All right, folks, we've got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926 is our number. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. And thank you for hanging out with us through the chaos of this satellite issue, which I think has now been resolved. So anyway, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, want to say a huge thank you, or congratulations, rather, to our friends at WDUN in Gainesville, Georgia, now in their brand new studios. So they're planning all sorts of big celebrations, and we're going to be heading that way soon. Details to come, but looking forward to checking out their new digs over in beautiful Gainesville, Georgia. One of the prettiest towns. They have a great town square, all sorts of fun stuff to do there in Gainesville. Lake Lanier, by the way, is the beautiful lake there. All right, I want to play some audio here. This is, all right, so this is President Trump after day one of the hush money trial. By the way, Stormy Daniels says there was no hush money and that this is not even, there was nothing there. Cut number six.
So thank you very much. We had some amazing things happen today. As you know, my son has graduated from high school, and it looks like the judge will not let me go through the graduation of my son, who's worked very, very hard. He's a great student. I'm very proud of the fact that he did so well. And I was looking forward for years to have graduation with his mother and father there. And it looks like the judge isn't going to allow me to escape this scam. It's a scam trial.
Well, it is a scam trial, and the president is right to he's right to be disgusted by all of this. The president went on to talk about how disgraceful all of this is. Cut number nine.
Every legal pundit, every legal scholar said this trial is a disgrace. We have a Trump-hating judge. We have a judge who shouldn't be on this case. He's totally conflicted. But this is a trial that should never happen. It should have been thrown out a long time ago. If you look at Jonathan Turley, Andy McCarthy, all great legal scholars, there's not one that we've been able to find that said this should be a trial. I was paying a lawyer and marked it down as a legal expense. Some accountant, I didn't know, marked it down as a legal expense. That's exactly what it was. And you've been indicted over that? I should be right now in Pennsylvania, in Florida, in many other states, North Carolina, Georgia, campaigning. This is all coming from the Biden White House, because the guy can't put two sentences together. He can't campaign. They're using this in order to try and win an election. And it's not working that way. It's working the opposite way. So check it out. Legal expense. It's called legal expense. That's what you're supposed to call it. Nobody has ever seen anything like it. So thank you very much for coming. I'm now going to sit down.
Okay, enough of that. Enough of that. Thank you. All right. So the president also sounding off on True Social about this judge saying that he will probably not be giving Trump time off to go to Barron's high school graduation. And the president's pretty upset about this. Here's my recommendation. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. I think the president needs to go to the high school graduation, right? If the judge says, okay, that's against the rules and we're going to throw you in jail, then the president should say, all right, come and arrest me. But the idea that you're going to have Donald Trump being told that he cannot go down and he can't go to his son's high school graduation is a load of hooey. And I can tell you this, that if in fact they do arrest Donald Trump, because the judge says, Trump, you've got to stay in that seat every single day. This court is in session and you're going to be there. And if you don't, we're going to arrest you. We're going to throw you in jail. That's what they're threatening Donald Trump right now. And if I were Trump, I would say, forget that. I'm going to my kid's high school graduation. And if you want to arrest me, you come and get me. And if they arrested Donald Trump, I can tell you this much, the man would be reelected in a landslide. President Trump could win this election campaigning from a jail. I believe it. People are really fed up in this country. I'm one of them. And I'm disgusted that our judicial system has been weaponized. If they're coming after Trump, they're coming after all of us. And the fact that you can go out right now and you can burn a flag, the fact that you can shout death to America, and that's legal, but you're not allowed to take a knee and pray outside of an abortion clinic. We have Christians that are going to jail simply for praying and singing songs outside an abortion clinic. And I'm telling you, as much as the Democrats hate Trump, they hate Christians even more. It's true. They hate Christians. And now they've infiltrated a lot of these evangelical churches and they're talking about Christian nationalism. There's no such thing. You can love God and you can be a good Christian. You can love God and love your country. You can be a good Christian. I got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. And welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. By the way, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, I'll be on Newsmax. So be sure to check us out. You can watch us on Newsmax's Facebook and YouTube channels. Then at 8 o'clock tonight, I'm pulling double duty on Newsmax all this week. 8 o'clock tonight, David Harris, I'll be filling in for David. David is out celebrating his 30th wedding anniversary, so decided to take the missus out for a special vacation, and we're excited for him and for his great family there. So very honored to be able to sit in the anchor chair for David tonight. All of that on Newsmax, too, and we would love for you to be a part of that. All right, I want to play some audio here. This is Maggie Haberman from the New York Slimes. And she was in the courtroom yesterday and was reporting that President Trump fell asleep in the trial. Cut five.
Yeah, I have to ask, you guys have been, at the Times, have been live blogging this event. And 40 minutes ago, you wrote an observation that I was very surprised. Trump appears to be sleeping. His head keeps dropping down and his mouth goes slack. Tell us about that.
Well, Jake, he appeared to be asleep, and, you know, repeatedly his head would fall down. There have been other moments in other trials, like the E. Jean Carroll trial, which was around the corner in January, where he appeared very still and seemed as if he might be sleeping, but then he would move. This time, he didn't pay attention to a note that his lawyer, Todd Blanche, passed him. His jaw kept falling on his chest, and his mouth kept going slack. Now, you know, sometimes people do fall asleep during court proceedings, but it's notable given the intensity of this morning and a lot of what was being argued.
Yeah, that's rather surprising. What was
these people? First of all, then she gets upset. Haberman gets in, and she's very upset because President Trump clearly read about this, and then later in the day, He glared at him. He glared at me. Yeah, you know what? I'd probably glare at you too, Maggie Haberman. But the reality is, so what if he fell asleep? It's a boring court trial. The man's busy. He's out there doing all sorts of campaign events. He's sitting there for hours on end. This is not like Matlock where you can take a commercial break. And by the way, where are all these people? Where are they when Joe Biden is not only falling asleep, he's getting lost on stage, he's clenching his fist, he's screaming at people, the guy's all over the place. How many times has Joe Biden literally fallen asleep at a meeting when he's leading the meeting? Nobody wants to talk about that. But God forbid Trump takes a little siesta, and we don't even know if he was asleep. He may have been praying. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I feel bad for the president. I really do, folks. And you wonder how much of a toll this has to take on a man, what they have done to him, the abuse that this man has had to suffer. And now they're telling the president, well, if you can't go to your son's graduation, and if you do, we're going to throw you in jail. If I were Trump, I'd say, throw me in jail. I dare you. Throw me in jail. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, again, all of this goes back to a central truth, that you have a Democrat attorney general, you have a Democrat judge, and you have a Democrat district attorney who are all going after Donald Trump. Now, Jonathan Turley does a brilliant job of going back and really breaking down Alvin Bragg's Frankenstein case, cut 7.
Is this one in court?
Well, there's a novel question, John. I'm not sure. I mean, this is a Frankenstein case. They took a dead misdemeanor, they attached it to a dead alleged federal felony and zapped it back into life. So many of us are just amazed to watch this actually walk into court, because it's not a recognizable crime that any of us have seen. This, it does not appear to be a federal crime, but that's the theory that Bragg is using. So to go into the Wayback Machine, this state misdemeanor died because of statute of limitations. Then what Bragg said was, well, I'm going to allege that you did false filings on business records to hide a crime, but he was very ambiguous what that crime might be. He still is ambiguous, but it is assumed to be a federal election crime. The problem is the federal government doesn't view it as a crime. They decided not to prosecute, and most election experts say that this is the type of thing that's failed in the past. So this bizarre indictment is now going to be an equally bizarre trial, and to this day, there's some confusion as to Bragg's actual theory, as to what was the exact crime that Trump was hiding from all this.
All right. This is what the Wall Street Journal said about Bragg trying to bootstrap this up to a federal felony. He said, quote, 7 months before the 2024 election, it's a trial that shouldn't happen in a case Mr. Bragg shouldn't have brought. The Stormy affair was sordid business, but the DA's argument is a legal stretch in ways that might bother a skeptical juror or an appeals court. So they're in jury selection for probably the next couple of weeks or so. Will the prosecution find jurors that are favorable to its case, or do you think jurors have already made up their minds to say, as you have said, why the heck is this even in court?
Well, look, this is the worst jury pool that Trump could pull, unless you just took everyone at the DNC headquarters. I mean, it is as a bad a pool as you can get. Now, that doesn't mean that they throw up their hands. They're not going to try to find someone who likes Trump. There's not many people available that fit that description in Manhattan. What they're looking for is someone who is independent, maybe a little feisty. You're going to have jury advisors there. there. Looking for people that have great conviction and confidence. They may dislike Trump, but you want people who like the law more. And that's what you're really looking for. You're also looking for what I call a Trojan juror. These are jurors who will lie to get into a high-profile case, and they'll be hiding within them bias and past conduct that they won't reveal. That you can often find out through social media. So there's a lot of work that's going to have to be done.
Okay. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Jonathan Turley. And again, it's Trump has done nothing wrong here. And we just have to hope and pray there is somebody that is selected for the jury that will actually be able to do the right thing here. That's what we have to hope for. All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, the Mayorkas impeachment articles have arrived in the Senate, so there you go. That's that. We'll keep you updated on any other developments there. Have you heard this story? This is from the world of boxing, where a woman who identifies as a man decided to jump into the ring with an actual man. This happened at the Fantasy Springs Casino in Indio, California. So Joshua Brian Reyes is the actual man, and the female Patricia Manuel, and she has a beard and tattoos. She began transitioning to being a dude in 2013 and underwent full transgender surgery by 2014. Did they add parts or just take away? How does that work? Anyway, she says, I am not one to hide my face no matter the outcome. So anyway, she got beat. She lasted just 21 seconds in the ring. 21 seconds. I'm surprised it was that long, and she got knocked out. So I'm curious if there are any moms and dads listening that have kids that are either boxers or maybe wrestlers. Would you allow your son to compete against a girl? So if you're, let's just say your son is on the boxing team at the high school, and your son has to get into the ring, and he's got to compete against a girl who thinks she's a boy. Maybe she has a little peach fuzz under the nose on that upper lip. Would you let your son compete against that girl? Would you let your son hit a girl? Would you let your son wrestle a girl? You know, there are some Christian schools out there, they won't allow this. That if there's a girl on the opposing team, they just forfeit. What would you tell your son to do? This is becoming a big deal. So Patricia is the first chick to compete at the male pro level, not for long. And this is all part of the World Boxing Council. It was their decision. They actually created a separate category for transgender boxers. And so now she's very upset about this. I want to be beat by the man. I want to be beat by the dudes. No, ma'am, we're trying to help you here. They're trying to save your front teeth. She is now saying, and she's upset about all of this. She says that that transgender boxers don't want to compete in a third category. Here's what Emmanuel said in a statement to Fox News.
It's heartbreaking to me to have the WBC, a leader in my sport, argue that I don't have a place in the ring as a man.
Yes, because that's because you're not a man, ma'am. You're a lady. So anyway, they're trying to help. I feel bad for the guy here. What's his name again? Joshua Reyes. I feel bad for this fella because he had to smack around a woman in the ring. I just, if I'm a boxer, I can't do that. I don't know. Maybe it's my upbringing, but I wouldn't be able to hit a girl. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Could you hit a girl in the boxing ring? It's weird to even be having this conversation because it's just so outrageous. I mean, normally if you do that, you would go to jail, not get a medal or a prize. I would be curious, though, to see who is the first, and this would be a great trivia question, is who's going to be the first female linebacker in the NFL? You think that'll ever happen? I mean, some of those gals can get pretty, you know, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for here? Husky? Is that fair? But it just seems to me that in today's society, that young men should not be competing against young women. And that may make me a sexist. I just don't think it's right for guys to be smacking around women in the ring. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Sue in Georgia. All right, Sue, am I out of line here?
Well, you know what? If she thinks she can compete with men and she wants to compete with men, then the men need to teach her a lesson. And I would tell my son not to hit her face, but you know, or in the breast area where they could really do damage. But, you know, it depends on how aggressive she is. If she's really aggressive and hitting in his groin area, then no holds barred. You know, I just think these women need to be taught that they are not the same as men. They need to back off, or they're really going to be damaged for the rest of their lives.
In other words, so you're saying if they want to play by man's rules, they've got to play by man's rules.
Absolutely. You know, well, you know, it depends. I would tell my son to let her take the first step and see where she goes with her swings. But if she starts getting vicious and really laying him on him, then I would say no holds barred.
Hit her again.
Yeah, you know. just not to hit her in her breast area, but, you know, where, of course, maybe she's had them removed, or maybe that's what she's planning on.
Well,
these
could be.
These people are just crazy to think that they should be doing this.
And they want us to accept it, Sue. They want us to accept this as normal.
Absolutely. Mm. And it's just not. You know, I don't know. As a mother, I have three boys and a daughter, and they fortunately weren't in boxing or wrestling. So I, you know, and they didn't have any of that either because they're a lot older. But it just floors me that these people think like that. And I have a granddaughter who wakes up in the morning. Maybe she's a boy. Maybe she's a girl.
Wow.
Which is like, okay, wow. She's trans. She calls herself trans.
Oh, geez, alone.
Yeah, you know, it just depends. Just depends on how she wakes up in the morning.
They'll grow out of it. Sue, appreciate the call. Yeah, we've got to run here, and I appreciate the call, though. My apologies. Real quick, let's go to Mike in Oregon, KYKN, our great affiliate there. Hi, Mike. What say you?
Hey, Todd. Well, you know, you're right. Boys shouldn't be competing against the girls, but today everybody wants to be equal. Girls want to be treated like boys, and boys want to be treated like girls, so you know, if that's what they want, then you know, let them take the lesson the hard way, and maybe it'll wake people up in today's society about equality not being quite equal when it comes to things like fighting or wrestling or things like that. I wrestled in high school, and there's no girl in her right mind would have got on the mat when I was wrestling in school.
Mm. What is it? Equal rights, equal fights.
Well, that's what they want. They want to play on the same level, so they should be treated according. It's hard, but if they think that they can handle it, they're going to have to learn the lesson the hard way, because there's no woman really can compete against a man in a fight.
That's true.
It's just not physically possible.
All right, Mike, appreciate the call. Let's go to Audrey in North Carolina, WHKP. All right, Audrey, what say you?
I think that if she wants to get in the ring with a full-fledged man, let him fight.
Really?
I think that's just stupid on their part. I mean, and I'm, you know, was always a bit of a tomboy and, you know, did landscaping and did, you know, kind of men's work. But you got to be stupid to think that you're going to compete against a guy.
Mm. Could you imagine the banana split move on wrestling? Ooh, ouch. That'd be painful.
I think, you know, she had her breast removed. She went through the surgery. Let them do it, you know. And the thing is, it kind of, it's a double-edged sword because the guys want to compete against the women. But again, they have an unfair, you know, advantage physically.
You see, I'm wondering, and again, if you're a guy, because you're just taught from a young age, and I think it's almost instinct as well. You don't hit a girl, and you wonder if that disadvantage, you know, if that is a disadvantage when you step into the ring like that. So that's a good point.
I don't know. I think, you know, it kind of, if she's willing to get in the ring, then maybe, like the previous lady was saying, they need to be taught a lesson that this just doesn't work this way. Mm. We're not genetically the same, flat out.
I wonder, thank you, Audrey, for that. Thank you for calling in. Could you imagine the poor woman sprawled out there on the mat and the guy's taunting her? Is that permissible? Or are you allowed to do that? And make me a sandwich! I said, make me a sandwich. I don't know. No, do not hear. Don't get this wrong. I don't think you ought to be hitting women. I don't care if it's in the ring or not. So there you go. All right. Head over to the website. We'll keep the conversation going. Tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Be sure to watch the show. In the meantime, folks, you get out there. You be good, America.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.